And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Joey Pipa. And Joey, I've heard a lot about you, but I don't know that we've ever really talked together. And so why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? You've got a very long background in church work. So why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, Dan. Well, the Lord converted me in 1960 in Pensacola, Florida, in a conservative congregation in the old Southern Presbyterian Church. But my junior year in high school, I had a very subtle conviction. I was called to the ministry. And just by God's grace, started studying my sales in that direction. Hmm. Went to, in those days, for the conservative church, there was one school to go to if you wanted to go into ministry, and that was Belhaven College in Jackson, Mississippi. I went there. And then the second full year of Reformed Seminary in Jackson, I enrolled. Finished while I was in seminary, I started pastoring a little church in Mississippi. And summer I graduated, I got ordained there and married and stayed about another 6.5 years. Then we went up to Philadelphia where I did my doctoral studies on William Perkins and the development of Puritan preaching and started writing for Great Commission publications. And then the Lord moved me, I almost say forcibly, to Houston, Texas. I hadn't finished my writing. I had not started. I don't know. I still had a couple of classes to do. But we were in Houston then for about 10.5 years and wrote my dissertation while in the pastorate. Then went out to California in 1989, something like that. And was there 7.5 years. Taught at Westminster Seminary. And then got a call from Greenville. Dr. Smith started Greenville Seminary in 1987, but had not been president. And the board decided that if they were going to let the church know that they intended to stay in business, they should have a president. God's providence, they called me. I started January '98. Did that for 20.5 years, and then in 2020, Jonathan Master came, doing a great job, and I still teach full-time at the seminary, and then working with a cohort in the established the church, Antioch Presbyterian Church, he's full-time, and I'm part-time, and so we've been there now since September of 20.
Wow, that's a full life.
I've been there. I was married 54 years and 11 days. My wife died this past August.
I'm
and God
sorry.
Bless me. Yeah, well, it's thank you. The Lord's been very gracious. It's, well, anyway, the Lord's been very gracious. We have 2 children, 10 grandchildren.
Praise
so
the Lord.
Oh. That's been great.
Well, that's quite a background, and I know you've been very involved in ministry, all kinds of ministry. Greenville Seminary, I've heard of it. I've heard Pastor Bill Shishko mention that. And it stands out to me kind of unique because my understanding is you don't just go to that seminary. You go to it if you've got the call of being a pastor or something like that. Can you explain what the philosophy is there?
Yeah, we define ourselves as, in a sense, an adjunct to the church, and our primary goal is to train men to be biblical, confessional, passionate pastors and good preachers. So we keep that focus, that narrow focus. We have some people that come in a master's program that aren't seeking to go to the ministry, but that's rare. In fact, I think we have some low percentage of what we would allow in.
Mm-hmm.
And that they know the classes will be conducted always to prepare men for the ministry. One of the things that ties into that is that we call at least 5 years of pastoral experience for a man to teach, not just to have his academic background.
Okay, yeah.
And we are fully confessional.
That's important. People don't really know that what that is, perhaps. What's the short answer if someone says, what do you mean you're confessional?
Well, the short answer is that in the Presbyterian Church in America and the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, going all the way back to the 1720 or whatever in the colonies, Presbyterian ministers have taken a vow that they hold to the doctrines that are set forth in the Westminster Confession of Faith. And all the doctrines that are in the Confession of Faith. Now, there can be expressions of those doctrines that exegetically one might demur. For example, the great Dr. Knight was a strict confessional person, but he thought that the text of Matthew 6 did not include the doxology, so he would scruple the confession, a little catechism, when it puts that in the Lord's Prayer. That's the kind of thing that we
yes.
need. So
yes,
all the doctrines, and it's a wholehearted commitment. It shapes us and our thinking. Gives a great collegiality on the faculty, and gives our men a good foundation.
It does. It kind of says, hey, these are my operating assumptions. This is. I may not even be teaching a particular aspect of it this semester, but it's there at the foundation.
Right.
That's good. What about somebody comes to you and they're talking with you as a pastor and said, yeah, Pastor, I'm really fed up. I'm really discouraged. Everything's falling apart. And maybe he's watching the news too much. And it's all bad, you know. And what do you tell a guy like that?
Well, where do you start? I guess you begin with his relationship to the Lord and God's sovereignty.
Yes.
Do you believe that anything is happening that God has not foreordained to take place?
Yes.
So if that's the case and you believe that he has, then he answers that in the words of Joseph, for example, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, that God has holy purposes that far transcend our time-bound vision. Just as we can only see the horizon at sea, we can only see the horizon of our finite time. But the Bible teaches us that God has got a great plan, and that plan is to gather and perfect his church, and all providence has been entrusted to Christ unto that end. And everything that's happening is happening with this divine goal in mind.
Mm.
And moreover, that although we will see difficult times, which the church has throughout its history, we have many promises in Scripture of glory being given to Christ, the nations. God promises him in Psalm 2, ask of me, I'll give you the nations as your inheritance. The ends of the earth is your possession.
Amen.
Psalm 72 picks up on that. The prophets, particularly interesting, the post-exilic prophets, like Zechariah, is full of these gospel promises of worldwide dominion for the gospel. So it's not a straight line. It's kind of like, the stock market. it'll be going up, and there'll be dips, and perhaps we're in one of those dips now, but looked at historically, the spread of the gospel in the world today is more pervasive. And even though in the Western countries, where it was once after the Reformation, in the Northern European countries, a rich heritage is in some decline, but the church is still there, and Christ is building this church, and he said that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it.
Right, right. Today we're talking with Dr. Joey Pipa. I don't know how people say your name. I've always heard it as Joey, but maybe you like it Joseph. I'm not sure.
I don't care.
Don't call you late for dinner, I guess. He's a leader of the church in many respects. He's worked in various churches, worked at the seminary level, still does. You were there at the founding of the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America. What's that been like after all these years? What was it, since 1973, I think?
1973, yeah. I was ordained in the Old Southern Church in 71, and part of the first assembly in Birmingham in December of 1973.
Hmm.
It's kind of like the stock market. The trajectory at times has not been good, although I knew personally a number of the founders. One of them had been my pastor for a number of years. And when they wanted a nomination that was going to be scriptural and confessional, they sincerely meant that.
Yeah.
They didn't understand fully what that meant. These men went mostly to Columbia Seminary. They had one Reformed professor, Dr. Robinson. They had an evangelical who was half, at least some portion, heretic. They had a couple of really good evangelical New Orthodox men. But they got out of seminary, you know, blessed of God to believe the gospel, mm-hmm. and the Bible is the word of God. And they, as they understood the confession of faith, they thought that was the finest expression there was, and that's what they wanted the church to be. So that created tensions on the one hand. On the other hand, I think those men were growing and developing. And I think the first negative turn, I mean, they were difficult things. Well, let me back up. I tell my students, when I got out of seminary, I don't think there was maybe in the South two self-conscious Reformed churches. And that's no longer the case.
Mm-hmm.
And we're blessed of God, even when we don't always agree and the churches are not consistent. It's people talk about things today that nobody even knew were issues in 1973.
Yes.
But we were, in 1983, when the Reformed Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod came in, they were much more loose in their approach to the standards than what many of us were and what I think was happening. And that really was almost an about-face, a U-turn. And it brought us into this period of a rise of what I would speak of as progressives.
Sure.
Issues that our fathers never would have dreamt of women leading in worship and strange views of worship and church life and women deacons and women elders. And a lot of that, I think, came that and the denomination inherited a seminary. And so, but in the last 5 to 6 years, the trajectory has changed pretty radically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one interesting thing is that those who would, I don't think progressive, I'm not calling them liberals, is a pejorative term. They belong in another denomination.
Mm-hmm.
But they're leaving, and that normally doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're leaving, so like goodbye leaving.
Yeah, goodbye leaving.
Oh.
Going to other denominations. Some would be, what, surprisingly going into ECO and things like that. Some going into the EPC.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelical Presbyterian Church. It started about the same time we did, but did not want, there was two issues for them. That was, they didn't oppose women elders, and they didn't oppose the charismatic movement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they weakened, when a number of their church, of the PCUSA churches left over the homosexual issue, they came into the EPC with some women ministers now as well. So the EPC has both women elders, deacons, and some women ministers. So, but the PCA has taken some good stands in the last few years, exegetically, strengthening our Book of Order. So I'm encouraged right now at the direction that the church is going.
Oh, that's good. And today we're talking with Dr. Joey Piper, and he's been with the PCA since its forming. the Presbyterian Church in America. Joey, we touched upon this idea of the person who's discouraged and always looking at things kind of downtrodden. You mentioned, however, things like Zechariah and speaking of worldwide dominion of Christ. What about the person who still wants to be discouraged? he's no. I want to be discouraged. And says, well, all that's true, but you got to wait until Jesus comes. You got to wait until Jesus comes. How do you answer that objection?
Well, I guess I could say yes, that's right. Now let's see what the Bible means about when Jesus comes. The coming of Jesus, the word in the Greek is parousia, can refer to the second coming, but it also can refer to his coming in either judgment or awakening. And so you have to look at the text and see, how is Jesus coming here? How is this manifested? His coming here. So I believe that Jesus is king and reigns. Now, there's a tension there, because I also believe I'd live each day as if I could hear the trumpet and he'd come.
That's right.
And maybe all the golden age stuff that I think is going to happen has happened at the Reformation or something. But so I live with an expectancy, but also with a certain conviction of what the Puritans refer to as the golden age, that there's going to be a time of great gospel prosperity around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any particular scripture texts that, and I know that you've just had an eye treatment today, and you can't see a thing.
Isaiah 11, Psalm 72, even the book of Revelation. There's an interpretation of that book that I hold to is called a partial preterist. Don't get that confused with the heretics.
Correct.
A preterist, a full preterist, believes that Christ has returned and that's the end of it. But that book of Revelation was written to a church in persecution, and it deals primarily with Christ's conquest of the Jewish church and the pagan Roman Empire, and the particular historical events have been fulfilled, but the pattern is established that this is what God is going to do through the ages. And so even in the end, when I'm praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus, I'm praying as well that he will come with the great gospel awakening.
Yeah.
And deliver the church in China and Iran and North Korea today from our persecutors.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk with people that know a lot about the persecuted church, and what surprises me, because right away you say, oh, this is bad news, you know, but what surprises me is Christ uses even that persecution many times to build his church. I don't know how it works, but he just does it. It's miraculous.
That's because he does it. It's supernatural.
Yeah.
Well, the martyrs said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Amen. That's right. What about the person that today we're talking with, Joey Pipa, is tired? He's older, or she's older. And they say, I don't really need to go to church anymore. I believe you do, by the way. But what about that person that has gotten lazy in their church attendance?
Well, unfortunately, it says, since this is a hypothetical person, it says something about their heart.
Hmm.
Why would they not want to be with God's people?
Yeah.
Why would they not want to do the number one thing for which God saved us, John 4? God is a spirit, and we worship him in spirit and truth, and such people God is seeking.
Mm.
He brought Israel out of Egypt to come and worship him corporately.
Mm-hmm.
So the corporate worship should be the highlight of our week. And then preaching, again, the Westminster Larger Catechism says the reading, but particularly the preaching of the Word of God is the primary means by which God will convert and sanctify his people.
Yeah.
So, and then 1 John, I would show her what John says. You know, if you're converted, you love God, which means you love his law, and you love his people, which means you love his church.
Amen. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left, and Joey Pipa is our guest today. I don't think we've ever had an interview with you before. Here's a question. I'm interested in your thoughts. I'm in a church that is in between pastors. We're looking for a senior pastor. What are some of the main things that should be in our minds as we look for that pastor? And I have no question, God has the man. He's already identified it, probably. But what should we be looking for as approximate means in selection of this pastor?
Well, the number one thing, if the man is obviously a godly man with a godly family and has the characteristics that Paul lays out in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Next, he needs to be confessional through and through. So those would be his personal qualifications. And he must be a good, solid, interesting preacher, that he can expound the Word of God accurately, intelligently, interestingly, and apply it to the hearts of his people. And then he must have a pastor's heart, which means he's not going to sit in his study, and he's going to be in the homes of his people. What size is your congregation?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 150. I don't even know the number.
Be in the people's homes, knowing them. I just finished reading a biography of Matthew Henry, and he's emphasized that so much. You cannot preach to your people if you don't know them well and know them spiritually well. And so those are my top four.
That's helpful.
And I can give you some good names.
I would love to know. Please feel free to send me an email, and I can pass it along to the search committee. I'm not on it this time, but I have.
I've got a young man here who's graduating. He's a very good preacher and pastor, and he really wants to minister in the Northeast. He has a burden. He's from, I remember, New Hampshire or Maine.
Yeah.
And so I'll send you his name.
Oh, I'd love
I'll have him send it to you. Okay.
I'll pass it along to the people. Like I say, I have no influence, but in a way I do, because I'm a member of the church. So
That's right.
Yeah.
Which presbytery are you all in?
I think it's called the Northeast. I don't know. I don't even know. Northeast New York or something like that. We're north of the one just below us, which is in northern New Jersey. I don't even know what the name of the presbytery is. Shame on me. I know. It's bad. It's really bad. We're out of time. This has been delightful.
Well, I've enjoyed it as well. Anytime. What do you do for a living, Dan?
Well, I used to work for IBM. For a little over 30 years. I was part of the layoffs back a while ago now, and we were already working on Redeemer Broadcasting. And so I just kind of went over to that and started working on that full time. Like anything, it's very hard, very hard at the beginning because we're a non-commercial, you know, and so we don't have a lot of funds or anything, but the Lord has been providing, and now the thing has grown to the point where my wife isn't worrying every day and every week, you know, maybe only a couple times a year.
And, you know, oh, that's great.
That's the way it works. So anyway, I better go. May God bless you. If somebody has a question, I may send you an email, and either we could do another interview.
Great.
Or
be happy to.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I enjoy this format a lot. So, yeah, anytime.
Good. Dr. Pipa, may the Lord bless you and keep you. We're very sorry that your wife has passed last year, and may the Lord help you as you cope with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. God bless you.
Thank you. Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.